And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. It's another edition of Tell Al Tuesday, and I've asked Nathan to come back on the show. Now, you've heard Nathan's voice before. I had Nathan on the show not too long ago, but we didn't get an opportunity to get into some of the nuts and bolts of how Nathan operates as a lead investor within Lifestyles Unlimited. So what I want to do today is I've asked him to come back because I want to get into some of the nuts and bolts. I want to understand why he decided to take the lead investor route. I want to get into his background. I want you to understand what he was doing for a living for many years and why he made decisions to change jobs. I mean, I think a lot of you are going through the same thing. I think many of you take a job, you think the job is going to work out pretty well, and then you get in the job and the job is kind of like, meh, you know what I'm talking about, right? And it doesn't seem to hold up to the hype that you listened to when you took the job. And then you find out you're just basically trading time for money. And then you get into a situation where you start looking for another job. You start looking for the next thing. Now, my guest, Nathan, I think that's similar to his background. I think that's part of what he was trying to do. Because here's what I know about Nathan. Now, I know Nathan pretty well. I've known Nathan for several years. I met him when he first became a Lifestyles Unlimited member. We became friends. There's no other way to describe our relationship. We are friends now. He is somebody that I can pick up the phone and call if I've got a question about syndicating deals to other people, or if I have a question about underwriting, or I just have a question about, you know, how he's doing with his market research. I can just pick up the phone and call him, and we'll have a conversation. So what we're going to do right now is I'm going to bring him onto the show. We're going to continue that conversation. We're going to pretend I was picking up the phone and I was calling Nathan and you get to eavesdrop. This is going to be a really fun show, and I guarantee you're going to learn a lot. So no further ado, hey, Nathan, let me get your name right. Hey, Nathan, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Hey, Al, thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Did I get that right? Are we friends?
We're buds.
So we're buds. That's cool. So I have a relationship with you, and you have a relationship with me, to where we could pick up the phone and call each other and ask each other anything real estate related, and we could have a great conversation about that.
Yeah. And we're even on a group chat.
That's true. We are on a group chat. And I know from that group chat that you're not the only guy out there that I communicate with, and I know that I'm not the only guy that you communicate with. We have a network of people that we communicate with, and it's all a part of the Lifestyles Unlimited community, is it not?
Absolutely. We all learn from each other.
So let's get into your background. Let's talk about what you were doing for a living prior to Lifestyles Unlimited. So let's get into your background. What did you do for your first job? Did you go to college, first of all? And let's check that box.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I went to college. I went to University of Phoenix. And, I was probably in my early-ish mid-20s at the time, and already out of the house, had worked, you know, early-20s type jobs. And I was like, okay, actually, here's how I made the decision to go to college, because college was not pushed so much in my family. It was presented as an option, but not exactly pushed. I grew up in a very blue-collar neighborhood and blue-collar family, and so it was an option, but, you know, wasn't forced. So here's how I made the decision to go to college. I was like, oh, look at that BMW. Look at that Mercedes. What do they all have? Oh, they all have, like, these license plate covers that say, you know, UC Davis, UC Berkeley, UC San Francisco. I was living in California at the time. So I was like, okay, the nice cars have college things around the license plate. I should probably look into this college thing, because doing whatever I was doing at the time wasn't appealing at all. So yeah, went to college and thought I would learn some stuff in there and be able to get a good job. Got out of college and got a little bit more comfortable job, right? Working in offices and stuff instead of factories or wherever. But you know, then it's okay. Well, how do I grow from here? I'm always trying to grow. So how do I grow from here? And I just kind of wasn't really seeing the path until I read a book about real estate. And I was like, oh, man, combined with this bad experience that I had that I shared about last time I was on the show, I was like, okay, this is the spot for me.
So you decided that you were going to do real estate. Now, you've gone to college. You've gotten the education. You got the degree. Did you get the degree? I'd never asked you that question. Do you have the piece of paper that says you spent a lot of money to get an education?
Yeah, it's somewhere. I think the most important pieces of paper right now are my student loan statements. college is great, right? And the type of college I went to wasn't like a standard campus. It was basically, I can't remember right now. It was like 4 hours once or twice a week after work. So I was working full time and going to college full time in the evenings. Not a driving factor in my success, I don't think.
You were working a very busy schedule and you were trying to fit a college education on top of it. I mean, do I have that right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I've worked full time the entire time.
What were you doing for a living at the time?
Various things. I think for the most part, I was working at a garden and I was in charge of pricing all the plants. So I would like get the wholesale prices and calculate what our markup would be and make sure they get labeled by the staff and stuff like that.
Okay. So you were in the nursery world, so to speak. Is that a career that's going to get you to the place of retirement that you wanted to get to?
No, but I did
not even
cool
close
stuff about
it?
Business, you know,
okay.
The operator, the main operator, the main owner, had his office right downstairs from mine. So from time to time, I would get the opportunity to meet with him and learn some stuff. And, you know, that really kind of ties into what I'm doing now is, you know, networking with other operators, networking with my Lifestyles Unlimited mentors, people like you, just keeping in touch with people who are building momentum and doing things in the real estate industry and trying to keep up with the changing times. You know, we've got artificial intelligence now, so we all need to be learning about that. It's just really important to network and engage and always be constantly learning.
So you developed that entrepreneurial spirit when you were working in that nursery. You knew that there was something a little bit different. You thought you needed a college degree in order to obtain it. So you went down that route. What happened after college? I'm just curious, Nathan, what did you stay with the nursery or did because you've got this now shiny brand new degree that it opens up all these doors for you? Did you make a career change?
I made a career change. It's a little fuzzy going back then, but at some point, yeah, I definitely made a career change and I wanted to get into real estate. And I think that's when I started working for a commercial property management company. And the types of properties they would manage would be, yes, apartments, but also mixed use stuff where they have like retail or coffee shops and dog salons, et cetera, on the first floor and then apartments above. I was, lowest man on the totem pole in that little like 7-person office, whatever it was. But this was in 2008 and I got to hear the two property managers have conversation after conversation with the residents and hear how firm they would be about paying rent. You know, 2008 was a lot of struggle for the commercial residents, the businesses that were in those properties. So it was really good to hear some of the conversations that the property managers would have. And I still lean on some of that sternness and just steadfastness that, hey, we're going to work with you, but the rent has to get paid. This is a business. We have mortgage to pay or, you know, whatever their script was. The point is that they were very steadfast on collecting rents. And I learned a lot from that. And then eventually moved over to working for Marcus and Millichap again. Front desk, research analyst, supporting all 50 agents in that office in San Francisco. Got to meet Mr. Marcus, got to meet Hassam, the current CEO of Marcus & Millichap. All the other executives every quarter would come in. So got to listen in on some of those conversations as well. And, you know, from there, try to get my own stuff, try to get my own, you know, real estate portfolio started. And I couldn't get it off the ground in California. That's when I moved to Texas and kind of segued into a sales career and trying to get my portfolio started at the same time. And we bought something, I think, within 6 months of landing here in Texas. I say landing. We drove here in a Honda Civic with a little, we put a hitch on the back of a Honda Civic.
You did not.
My wife, I have pictures. It was like a, 2007 Honda Civic. Put a hitch on it, $400 at U-Haul. Got the smallest U-Haul, or probably the biggest one that would fit on that thing. And at the time, I had never towed before. So the hitch was probably like 4 inches off the ground all the way from San Francisco to Austin, Texas. So that's what I mean by landing.
Rookie.
In Austin. Yeah, definitely a rookie move. We bought them that thing out a few times, I think. And the point is, you know, changing careers and just looking for the better opportunity, right? I just don't believe that just because you're born somewhere, that's where you have to live for the rest of your life, you know? So we do the hard things. It sucked leaving family behind, but, you know, in order to grow my own, we got to make some tough decisions and do what we got to do.
Now, you got involved with short-term rentals when you got out here to Texas. Do I have that correct?
Yeah. I had two job offers when we came out here in 2013. And, you know, they're sales jobs. So I, over the years in my sales career, I learned, okay, I'm basically going to a sales pitch. It's not the regular kind of job offer or job interview. It's like you're taking a job interview with a sales manager, someone who's really good at their craft. So this first sales job that I was offered, I thought I was going to be making all kinds of money and the company was successful. A week or two into the job, and somebody mentions, oh, the company hasn't made a sale in a year or 2 years or something like that. I say, what in the world? Absolutely not. So I called back the other company and got on board with them and had a really good, really good sales career for a couple years with those guys. And then in 2015, I can't remember. Oh, I think they canceled the product or something that I was selling, and there was just no spot for me. So I decided to let them lay me off and focus just on real estate. And so at that point, we had just bought a four-bedroom house, and I turned one of those bedrooms into an Airbnb because it was just my wife and me. And then that one was doing so well, so I opened up another bedroom, and it was paying for our whole house, all of our living expenses, mortgage, insurance, utilities, internet, cable, all that good stuff. So we kind of house hacked with Airbnb. And then when my daughter was born a couple years later, we closed that down because we're not going to have, you know, strangers in our home anymore. And then I started with one side of our duplex that we own, renovated that, made it up super pretty, and then put furniture in it. And then did the arbitrage model from there with other apartments.
And so it begins. We come back from the break. More with Nathan. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa on how our educators and mentors share their knowledge.
The whole Lifestyles Unlimited team is just wonderful, and all the people in it is basically copying what I do so you could be successful.
Lifestyles Unlimited, over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297 and save 60%. Lifestyles Unlimited, text radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and I am joined by Nathan, and together We're working on your financial freedom. You've come a long way from the days of house hacking. So here's the question I have for you. What happened in 2020? You did something really radical that kind of spearheaded this real estate investing business. When you decided to get away from Airbnb and get into real estate investing, you did something people would call crazy.
Okay. I sold the home that we were living in, the one that we were doing house hacking, because I heard one of my mentors tell this story of how they got started in real estate. They had all this equity in their home, and you can't use it if it's in the house. So that was my seed money for my apartment investments. So my wife and I sold the house, took the money, took the cash out, and then invested it in our first apartment community. And that's what seeded the whole thing. That's how I got my experience in apartments. And I'm so glad that we did.
How much money were you able to take out of that asset?
Just under 200, I think it was.
Was that enough money to get your business up and running?
Yes. Yep. Absolutely was.
Some people would go out and buy, you know, boats and jet skis and party and then invest. But I know you didn't do that. What did you buy?
What's that saying about the seed corn? You don't eat the seed corn.
You don't eat your seed corn, according to John Pry. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. And so the way I look at money is it's a tool. It's not something to be played with. So, you know, just like your car needs fuel or a jet needs jet fuel, a business needs cash to operate. So no, we didn't do any of those things. What we did with the money is start shopping for our first apartment deal. You know, we got certified through Lifestyles Unlimited and got the stamp of approval to become lead investors. And, you know, that's a big responsibility. So we started shopping. We started analyzing deals, meeting with mentors on a very regular basis. Probably every deal that I looked at, we went over the numbers with a mentor. And we finally landed on one all the way out in Mississippi. So that's another crazy thing that people say that I did. But I had already had lots of experience managing those Airbnbs remotely from sometimes 600-700 miles away for months at a time. And I knew that I could manage an apartment community because it's actually less work. It's less involved because there's less turnover. Apartment residents are in there for a whole year versus, you know, 2 or 3 days with a guest. So that's a crazy thing I did, is I took all the money out of my house, my personal home, right, which everybody treasures and gets very emotional about. No, it's just a house. So we went and rented a house, took the money out of our home, sold it, put it into apartment investments, and that's how we got started.
I'm going to switch gears on you because I really want to get into Mississippi. I understand the mechanism. I understand the ability to manage from afar. I understand that you built a great team, and that's part of the reason you're able to get that done. But at the end of the day, what was it about Mississippi that was calling you? What was it about that particular asset that said to you, you got to buy me?
I had been to Mississippi before, about 10 years before. I think it was like 2011, something like that. A friend of mine had a property up in Jackson, Mississippi, so flew out there and drove through and kind of looked at some real estate in that area. And so I knew that Mississippi was beautiful and there's opportunity there, and it's you know, slower pace of life. People are so kind. I love the state of Mississippi. So when I found out that my friend Zach was doing deals, operating apartments in Mississippi, and then met some other people doing deals in Mississippi, I started looking at a couple deals out there, and I think it was probably the second one that I looked at. The numbers penciled out way better than anything I had seen locally. And just with my background and experience and all the things that you just outlined, I knew I could operate it from, you know, essentially 10-hour drive away.
So it was the numbers. The numbers drove you.
The numbers.
The fact that you're investing to make money. You're not investing to just go through the motions of investing. You're investing to make money for yourself and your investors, right?
We have to. That's the only reason to do a deal. Absolutely.
And Mississippi was the place that provided you the asset. Now, do you still own that asset?
I do. Yeah.
Nathan, tell me what passive income means to you.
Passive income is mailbox money. That's an antiquated term. It's more direct deposits.
It's kind of like it's ACH money now, right?
It's ACH money. Yeah. No, it's money you don't have to work for.
Well, is that illegal?
No. The IRS actually writes laws. They encourage it. They want some more of it. Another thing that I've learned, actually from another member, is the IRS incentivizes business owners. That's the reason there are certain tax laws and quote unquote breaks for business owners and investors. Because the government doesn't want to do the job. They don't want to create housing and manage housing and construction and all that stuff. So they incentivize private citizens to do it.
So there's benefits to us as real estate investors.
Oh, yeah. Tons of benefits.
Like little things called depreciation. What is depreciation anyhow? Does that mean we're sad?
Oh, gosh. That was depression, Al. Depreciation.
Sorry.
Now, I'm not a tax advisor, tax professional, but depreciation is essentially you make money, but you legally get to tell the IRS that you didn't make the money, so they lower your taxes. That's about as simple as I can do.
I think you nailed it. I think that's one of the best explanations I've had of what depreciation is, because usually I get like a 5 to 7 minute dissertation on what depreciation is, but you nailed it. Good job. I think yes, what we need to do now is we got to talk about the biggest event that Lifestyles Unlimited hosts annually. It's coming up. It's going to be October 2nd through the 5th in Irving, Texas. It's called the Wealth and Passive Income Expo. In addition to the expo, we have something called the Master's Tour. It's an opportunity for Lifestyles Unlimited members and you, who's not a Lifestyles Unlimited member, to come together and network with each other. We'll give you an opportunity to join the organization if you're not already a member. But at the end of the day, the whole thing is designed to give you a one-stop shop for everything you need for your real estate investing business. So, Nathan, how many expos have you been to?
I've been to 3 expos. And I love Expo. Expo is, I look forward to it all year. And it's where, what is it, like 5,000 people come and from all over the country. Some people even live in different countries across the oceans. And it's where everybody comes with the sole purpose of learning more about real estate and networking. So when I first went on the road trip, it was like drinking from a fire hose. I think we saw, I don't know, 4 or 5 different apartment communities that day. It was like a all-day deal. And then afterwards, link up with Dell, and he gives a talk, and his key takeaways that he wants our group to take away from each apartment community. And that was like drinking from a fire hose. I mean, you're used to living in a house, right? And maybe you've invested in some houses. But then when you start learning about investing in apartments and you step foot on an apartment community with 150, 200 units, it's like, whoa, it's like a little town. There's so many people working there. It's not just you as the landlord working there. You've got staff, you've got maintenance people, you have managers, leasing, there's a pool probably. It's a lot to learn. And Lifestyles just really makes it digestible in that road trip. And then in the expo, there's all kinds of breakout sessions, which are like miniature classes, like an hour and 15 minute classes. There's networking sections where they have food and some beverages, and you get to network with people from across the country. Everybody's sharing ideas. It's an awesome experience, and I can't wait to go in a couple weeks.
What are you looking forward to most?
Networking. I also heard there's
networking.
Yes. Networking. There's going to be a lot of people there. A lot of people who I communicate with through Facebook or, who are even investors in my deal who live in different states. And it's a good time to get FaceTime with other investors because, you know, phone calls are great and, you know, social media has its place, but there's nothing like being belly to belly with somebody and getting that rapport. And you just learn so much from other people. I do. I learn so much from other people. And I think that's the best way to network. So you get to exchange ideas and learn about trends and what other people are doing in their businesses, what investors are looking for in their upcoming deals. So it's a really good place for networking.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, networking is my number one goal. That's what I want to accomplish while I'm there. I want to meet everybody. I mean, there's going to be 5,000 people there, so that's going to be a hard thing for me to do. But if I can successfully meet 5,000 people, now, ironically, I probably already know a couple thousand of them. I find that to be the trend. I remember my first expo, it was like I was there in a sea of people. I didn't know very many people, and I got to know a couple of people while I was there. But the last expo that I went to, man, I was picking out people all over the place from the crowd because I've made these relationships. And real estate is really a relationship business, is it not?
It's all relationship based. Every deal I've ever gotten has been from another human being. Every contractor I've ever met has been through another human being. Every dollar I've ever made has been through another human being. So we have to know others. And you know, it's a great place to meet other people who are interested in the same things and learn from and share with.
Is there any educational content that you're actively seeking out? Is there something that you know is going to be presented there that you're in your mind, you're saying that's the first thing I've got to get to?
You know, I heard there's going to be a construction class, so I'm definitely interested in that. I think I need to review the schedule.
In fairness to you, they're still working the schedule, but I've got some insider information. Want me to share some of it with you?
Yeah.
We're
going to
have something called
Super.
And then
I can share what I normally do.
Okay. We're going to have a super passive panel. So it's all passive investors talking about how to invest with people like you and me. So it's really awesome because it opens up the eyes to a lot of people that don't want to be active investors like we are. They want to be passive. They want that mailbox money. We're going to have the Super Women panel, Super Women of Real Estate. What the heck is that? These are women that are movers and shakers in the Lifestyles Unlimited community, as well as the real estate markets. These are lead investors. These are independent rental operators. These are single family owners and operators. And they're going to sit up on the stage and they're going to bust through all the barriers that say women can't do this. Because as you and I know, real estate is still one of those industries that is kind of male dominated, but I'm seeing more and more women emerging into our industry. Are you seeing the same thing?
Women are great at real estate investing. Excellent.
Oh, yes, you know, they are.
Thinking back on even my short-term rental days, I think most Airbnb hosts are the ladies. They're just better at connecting with people, I think, than some of the guys are. But yeah, it, you know, it's traditionally male dominated, but yeah, lots of women coming up.
So we got about a minute and a half left. Now's your time. Go ahead and share your piece.
Oh, so what I do once we get the schedule, I look at all the educational opportunities out there and I try to align which ones are going to, you know, help me and my business the most. So I'll go in with a highlighter. I guess I do this at check-in because that's when we get the papers. I'll go through with a highlighter and select which rooms I want to be in. And more times than not, I have to select two and then I make a split second decision on the fly when that time slot comes. But that's what I would recommend for anybody doing expo the first time is get that schedule, get a highlighter, figure out which rooms you want to be in, which education is going to help you the most in your journey right now. Or if networking is the most important thing, do that. But definitely connect with people, have dinner afterwards, and treat it like a work event. I would limit the alcohol and just keep it professional because it is a work event. This is, you're working for your family. You're trying to grow your family's wealth. So treat it in a professional manner. And I think that's probably the best advice I can give to anybody who's attending Expo.
Man, that is perfect advice and the perfect way to close the show. Nathan, I want to thank you for being on the show. I know people have learned a lot from you. And if you want to go to Expo, the easiest way for you to get to Expo is to go to lifestylesunlimited.com. When you get there, there's a banner that says Expo. Click on it and it'll give you your options for attending the event.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.